Hello, I'm James, and I've been a Seinfeld fan forever.
Hello, I'm Steve. Seinfeld passed me by, but my good time buddy assures me it's very much worth my time.
And together, we're watching the entire Seinfeld series and making our own commentary track in another Seinfeld podcast we call Hello, Newman. Cleared the pipes now, have you?
Yes, it feels a lot better, thank you.
Good. I was looking at your pipe earlier and I was thinking it needs clearing. Yeah. Thank goodness you've done it. So, yeah, well, you stand by for a bit of hilarity, mate, because I tell you, it's a whole lot coming up later on the show. Welcome to Hello Newman 45, the podcast where we talk over an episode of Seinfeld and then tell you what we thought about it.
Mm.
It's that simple.
It really is.
I can't believe only several people thought of it before us. Actually, I'm not sure that's entirely true. Although we're not the first commentary podcast, Stephen, I wouldn't want to claim that we are.
No.
Mm.
There might be something a bit unique about the crossover between talking about this particular television show and also doing a commentary on the particular television show.
I enjoyed the podcast Talk Salad and Scrambled Eggs with Matt Myra and Kevin Smith, but they weren't as consistent as we were. And in fact, I think they still have some way to go, being as they are on an extended hiatus. It's a shame, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, but we're consistent.
Interesting that, you know, we're in a position to teach them a thing or two about that.
Absolutely. We're consistent. Mm. Well, I like to think that I've taught Kevin Smith a thing or two.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's important to stay regular.
Very important. We're like the prune juice of podcasting in many, many ways. So I've said hello. I've said welcome, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
So what I also like to say before we get going, talking about, as we are, Season 4, Episode 5, The Watch, I like to say thank you for listening. And if you enjoy this podcast, please do, if you have the time. And frankly, I've got to tell you, very easy from the podcast app on your Apple products.
Mm-hmm.
If that's how you listen, very easy to leave a rating and a review. You leave a 5-star review, I will read it out on this podcast. In fact, I have done so in the past.
Yes.
So, you know, you just see if I don't do that again. Yeah. So, now, Steve, I'm normally pretty well, wouldn't you say I'm normally pretty well organised before... Very rarely have I let us down in terms of my preparation. So
nope, always on the ball, James.
Absolutely. So remaining consistent as ever, I'm going to say we're watching on Amazon Prime in the UK. Other services are available. You can also buy these on digital versatile disc and watch it in that way. We've got it all queued up to all the zeros, Steve.
All the zeros.
And when I say... Now, we're going to start watching, so if you want to watch along with us, you need to press play now. So, it's a recap. Now, this is essentially a recap of Seinfeld, the show, full stop, all four seasons so far, in many ways.
Yeah.
As I think you spoke about last week, we get a little bit of stuff from the pen, from all sorts of episodes, setting up the fact that Joe DiVolo's crazy.
Yep. Just popped up on screen.
Jerry's gifted watch from his parents has been thrown away. His father's wallet has been stolen. George has cigars and has also thrown away their chances of having a pilot aired with NBC through hubris. One question I have got to ask you, though, is this the longest in the history of the Seinfeld show? It's almost like this is the live version. You know, where they have an extra long intro to build up anticipation within the crowd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm in the crowd. Oh, I can't wait to hear that first slap bass note. Oh, man. Oh, the anticipation is because of the shaky thing from Brazil.
That's right, yeah.
That's what it's called, isn't it? Hello! Still going. By this point in the crowd, I'm doing my nutting.
And we're still getting it.
Yeah.
A few dings and clicks now.
Yeah.
It's almost like the 12-inch remix.
Oh, there it is! Oh, rock and roll! Boom, 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 boom. I'm sorry, I can't move on from the music. But notice how quickly it gets out of dodge at the end of this bit of stand-up. Like, they haven't had long enough to quite play it out properly. It's very odd.
Bad gifts.
Bad gifts. I think that will play even better now, because obviously we're all paperless.
Mm.
So they're still in the restaurant having a very loud conversation.
We have very much picked up from where we left off.
Exactly where we left off. Except all of a sudden there is an attractive hostess.
Yes.
Mm. She is beautiful.
She's a pretty lady, all right. Yeah. But there's definitely a difference of opinion between Jerry and Helen here, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the men seem less sort of enamoured by her than Helen.
Yeah.
There's some Uncle Leo. There's some really good reaction work in the scenes he's in today. Susan and George again. We're back in the car with Susan and George.
They are still dating.
Do you reckon this is where he got the idea for comedians and cars?
Probably. There was just an element missing.
Yeah.
Comedians in cars, buying cigars.
I'd like to see comedians in cars that are buying cigars.
Yeah.
Or playing sitars.
Comedians in cars wearing cashmere. Could be another.
Yeah, true.
Just looking for that extra element.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would be.
Comedians in cars, most certainly not behaving terribly in a sex way.
Sure.
Oh, no, that would be Louis C.K. behaving terribly in a car. I made it too real. I'm sorry.
That's okay. George is a full-on whiny George here. Susan doesn't seem to be too uncomfortable with that.
I mean, she's really taken with this funny little man, isn't she?
Yeah.
I think, file of facts.
Yeah.
My wife used a file of facts up until the early years of this millennium. Now, Steve.
Yes.
Here's a new set. We've not been in here before.
We haven't.
This is the mysterious black pit that is Kramer's apartment.
Oh.
We're in Kramer's apartment, Steve.
I had no idea that was
fanfare,
Kramer's apartment.
No fanfare at all. Because we know that Elaine's only just gone over there. She's wearing exactly the same clothes that she was earlier, as is Kramer.
Mm.
She even refers to his hair. In a moment, because in the last episode, you remember, he set his head on fire in that.
Yeah.
In a scene that you didn't care for.
Yeah.
But yeah, we will revisit this space again, and it will look different over the years. But this is Kramer's apartment. Is it as kooky as you expected?
It really is.
Yeah.
There's some levels behind him.
Yes.
And, what looks very much like a floor sofa.
Yeah, absolutely. Or is it a folding out bed? I can't work it out.
Yeah, so Kramer's been given the skinny on Elaine's elaborate story.
The scoop
story.
And the skinny.
The skinny scoop.
Thank you. Sorry, Steve, to interrupt. I had a conversation with a colleague earlier. Who asked me what I was doing, talking to one of my other colleagues, and I said, I'm here for the scoop and the skinny. And he looked at me and said, the what? I said, I'm here for the scoop and the skinny. He said, the what? I said, the scoop and the skinny. So, no idea, mate.
Millennials.
No, he's about the same age as me.
Oh, really?
And he didn't know about the scoop and the skinny.
Ugh. People with different experiences to ours.
Gen Xers.
Jeez.
Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah. Kramer's all psyched up for the call.
Yeah.
takes a moment or two to warm up.
Mm.
Gets into the character very well.
Beautifully.
Very nice.
Mm.
Almost a success.
Almost.
But there's something about the shrink. Something about Dr. Reston, his magical powers.
He's got Dr. Strange-like powers, hasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. He's the psychiatrist supreme. Oh, do you remember when people would write things down?
Yeah, I do. I still do. I still write things down.
No.
Yes.
I didn't know you're so old-fashioned. That's is that a rotary telephone he's using there? Let's talk about all of the old things that we can see. Michael Richards and Huey Lewis Dreyfus. Yeah. Why did I turn her into two of Scrooge McDuck's nephews? Huey Lewis Dreyfus. Wow. Super passive aggressive review of her meal there. He's got a little sing-songy flirty thing going.
She was working on him a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit. I think they know there's something going on. Good eating. Good eating from Leo. He's working it. Look at the way he's glaring.
The hostess was pitching the desserts.
But
the guests hadn't finished having their menu.
That's true. But did you see that glare? I love it. There was that little glare at Morty. Like, I'm thinking of something. And then he delivers his line. It's brilliant acting. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant acting. So he's lost his wallet. Doesn't have any money on him.
Yeah, and insists on paying the bill.
Insists on paying the bill. And Jerry reacts in the correct way. Off you go then.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see this. He's going to the bathroom too, just like us girls do.
Yeah. Yeah, he's... My first thought is, well, he's got no bathroom code. You don't go to the bathroom when one of your friends or colleagues has gone there. But no, Jerry's got something he needs to do.
But Uncle Jerry, Uncle Leo, especially for a man of his age, goes really quickly.
Yep.
Because it's my understanding that you really start to lose pressure as you get older.
He's obviously in good health.
Yeah, a fact I can attest to.
Healthy prostate, no doubt.
Is it the character that wears a death aid, or the actor?
Well, I'd say the actor is wearing them.
True.
So...
And vest? The vest, is it the actor's own?
Oh, there we go. Very handsy Jerry. We've not seen that from him before.
Handsy and very assertive.
Yeah.
This is nice. People are getting George's surname again. Surname wrong again.
Mm.
Missed out a word there, sorry. Typo.
That's quite all right. It was like you were bullet pointing it.
Yeah. Seinfeld friend. Cartwright! Cartwright!
A bit, yeah.
That could have gone horribly wrong had I... Depending on my vocal choice there. I admire his determination here, though, chipping up at the guy's apartment on a weekend night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's bargaining with the maitre d', I assume. Who's a very convincing Frenchman.
Oh, yes.
Why don't you just let him pair with francs? Because this is 3 euros.
That's correct.
Family on.
Yep.
His first
great facial expression there as well.
Kramer quite rightly identifying the architectural anomaly that is the psychiatrist supreme's headquarters.
Yeah. The diagonal door situation. Yeah.
Adding to his mythos. The only other thing I've seen that really features a diagonal door is JFK.
Oh, yeah.
Nice apartment. It's got levels.
Yeah, it does have levels. It kind of looks a bit like the set that they had their meeting in.
Yeah, very similar. I like we're seeing George is showcasing amenable, friendly George here.
Yeah.
To very poor effect.
There's something about that jacket that really puts him out of place in that scene. I mean, obviously, you know, we've got a largely blue environ around him and he's wearing the complementary colour of orange, so he's really standing out. But not just that, just the way everyone's dressed and everything. He really does pop out and look just
fish out of water.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was struggling for a good phrase, but that will do.
I noticed. I saw you to stretch the metaphor, floundering.
Yeah.
How come they dress so posh for dinner?
Lovely bit of business here.
Bob Balaban doing some great Bob Balabaning coaster work.
Yeah, absolutely incensed she put the glass in.
Do you know, it must be the angle I'm watching it. I didn't realise quite how much thigh the actress was showing.
Yes,
it's because of the angle I'm at. Yeah, it's incredible. Why do rich people dress like that for dinner? Doesn't look comfortable. I mean, they're indoors.
I would hope underneath that belt there's an elastic a waist. So,
tracky bottoms.
You know, because you need to just kind of loosen a little bit after a nice meal, don't you?
Oh, I did.
I don't mean bowels. I just mean, you know, I do the belt a little bit.
I'm wearing some stretchy lounge pants this evening, Steve, and I had a shepherd's pie earlier, and let me tell you, I need them. Great bargaining. He does actually bargain very well, considering the position he's in at the beginning of this scene. I know he ends up, you know, settling for less, spoilers, but I think George actually does a pretty stand-up job of rescuing things here.
Yes, he does, yeah. He has accepted that his strategy has failed, and he needs to make good.
Yeah, and he does, really. I mean, admittedly, he blames Jerry, but he still, you know, he claws it back.
Although, just can't quite go. Mm.
So full of hate, though, isn't he, as a character, Bob Balaban? Because I can't remember the character's name off the top of my head. More negotiating, though. From one negotiating scene to another.
Yeah.
Do you think Larry David was just really into writing negotiations that day?
Maybe.
Yeah, almost certainly. He's... Oh, man, I love Uncle Leo. Have I mentioned how much I love Uncle Leo? I've never seen a band like this. Look at the quality of this watch, Jerry. How much splash money is he carrying about with him? He's got $350 on him.
There's a lot more to walk in.
Yeah, walks in as though there's some people, sort of weird drug
people
deal.
People walked around with a lot more cash back then. And this is the United States of America. It is more either cash or credit card. They never had the debit card situation that we have over here.
That's true. He has got a credit card in his wallet. A gold credit card in his wallet, I noticed. Kramer taking a cue out of, the psychiatry supreme taking a cue out of Reggie Perrin's book there with a farting chair. Nice bit of business for Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
You could see him flying Airwolf though, couldn't you? The psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd like a cappuccino. When cappuccinos were still relatively new. Mm. Coffee culture as we know it now really hadn't emerged.
That's right.
The idea of posh coffee in the UK at that time was gold blend.
Very true.
Yeah.
Or Maxwell House, where you'd go off into the kitchen and then make strange throat noises as if you had a coffee percolator.
Oh, look, it's Crazy Joe DiVola. He's on medication.
And not only is it Crazy Joe DiVola making a return, but he seems to be getting on with Elaine here, and Elaine seems to be getting on with him. Yeah. They're doing a bit.
He definitely seems to have improved since his psychiatrist returned from his holiday with his girlfriend, although he's wearing exactly the same clothes as he was wearing when we last saw him.
It's his crazy uniform.
It is his crazy uniform. Oh, God, I dress very similarly most days. Does that mean I've got a crazy uniform?
No, it just means you go to work.
That's true. I don't wear a uniform at work, and I'd like to make that clear for the listener that I have recently left my job at McDonald's. Not there's anything wrong with that.
So look at them now, hitting it off.
Cool. But Kramer is one of those people that very few people he doesn't hit it off with. Bob Sacramento, very good friends with him.
Yeah. He's got matches now.
Yes. I used to like the matches you could light off walls and things. It's a good good footlight in there. And excellent placement of the match in the box of tissues.
And then let's do some work with fire. Yeah,
fire business. Michael Richards almost certainly burning himself for real.
Oh, method.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, one could...
No, you're not crazy, are you, Joe? No, of course not.
Nothing could possibly go wrong. And now Jerry's hooking up. Lots of symmetry.
And she's got a routine too. Yeah,
absolutely.
A match made in heaven there.
She seems almost perfect, actually. It's almost like too good to be true, isn't it? Oh.
Oh, and then he comes back. I love this bit.
Yeah, the double take. Oh, she actually laughs like Janice from Friends. Which is funny, because she was
in
it.
That is just the perfect payoff to that scene. I loved that so much.
Oh, Kramer and Crazy Joe just miss each other.
Yeah. I was half expecting a reaction from Joe as the door closed, but no, he didn't get it. It was perfect.
Expect to see Joe kick him in the head again. So Kramer's got a new friend. I love the way this scene plays out. So the conversation with Crazy Joe and the psychiatrist all plays out behind the window. It's nice.
Yeah.
What must he think of Elaine at this point, though? Man-hungry Elaine Bennis. Very good point.
Well, you know. It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't do the full hour and then immediately jump into the next. It's almost like the next patient.
It's almost like that'd be so psychologically draining that it would break you.
Yeah.
And you need to prep. Do you think that their luggage looks a little bit like Marshall Amps?
Yeah, they do look more like flight cases for gear, for band equipment than just your regular suitcase. Mm.
No point in us opening Apple Corner. There's nothing to report.
No. And we kind of covered?
Yeah.
Mm. We kind of covered.
No, we covered.
Luggage Corner.
That's true. Oh, welcome to Luggage Corner. Looks like Amps.
Yeah, George loves orange.
He does. But this time he's partnering up with a green barber knockoff. What's going on with the leather collar on that jacket, do you think? Yeah, you got a deal. That was you sounded.
Oh,
like,
Morty, bless you.
You sounded like a distressed trumpet then. Jerry's dad. Did I ever mention previously that picture's Jerry's dad?
I think you might have done.
So's that oven glove. $8,000. Brilliant. Well done. What? You said something. That's still not bad for writing stuff. Like, a 22-minute sitcom, that's not bad for you when you haven't done one before.
Especially when it's about nothing. Yeah. I mean, you could literally turn up with 24 pages of blank US letter.
Yeah.
And you would have earned your money.
Because that's what it equates to, isn't it? Just 24 pages of the writing. That's what, a day's work?
Afternoon, come on.
I can knock out like 3,000 words in about 2 hours. Oh, he's bought his dad a wallet. How lovely.
What a thoughtful gift.
And it's such a charming scene, isn't it? Because he's so happy with his gift. He loves his son so much. I feel like the cockles of my heart are being warmed.
Who wouldn't like Jerry?
He's a lovely boy. He's a terrific kid. Lovely boy. It's inconceivable to me that anyone could not like Jerry. Oh, dear. He's earning good money. Why would he be angry with George?
Hey, he found a good parking spot.
He found a great parking spot. He's Leo. Of course he found a great parking spot. That's why he wears his trousers so high. He's proud. Elmo's Bar and Grill there. No monks. Mm-hmm. This episode.
No, we didn't get to see our regular waiting staff.
No, we didn't get to see Jenny Sledge, who we see in every single episode of Seinfeld when Monks is Jenny Sledge, one of the original Berkeley babes.
That was a nice little moment. He put some money in the wallet.
Yeah. that his dad immediately throws into the trash, as I believe it's called in the Americas.
I love that.
Yeah. F him and his wallet. It's got Velcro.
Didn't even look at it.
But yeah, Leo, yet again. Yet again.
You would though, wouldn't you, eh?
Yeah.
Fresh wallet and, unbeknownst to him, $400 up.
So I'm going to go so as far to
Morty
say...
Morty doesn't carry cards?
Apparently not. But they'd have been in his
wallet. They would have been nicked, wouldn't they? Yeah.
I'm gonna go as far as to say is I think Leo...
Dumpster diver.
Is, yeah, an OG freegan. Johnson.
Some men versus women comedy here.
Yeah, well, men and women, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, men do this and women be like this.
It's like, you know, you could divide things by gender.
Yeah.
See, Not necessarily by individual people.
What we don't see, he does 15 minutes of racial stuff straight after that. Steve, do you have any credit corner?
I do not. There is no credit watch today.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do then, I'm going to close this and I'm going to ask you a question. So if you're still watching along, you enjoy the credits, we're just going to go straight into it to the point where I say to Steve, Steve, what did you make of Season 4, Episode 5, The Watch?
The Watch. Well, okay. We've had the wallet. We've had the watch.
Yeah.
We've had our two-parter. And like other two-parters before, the first half is setting things up.
Yeah.
And the second half is paying things off.
Lots of gags. Funny episode, this one.
And I think out of the two, because you've got the extra element of all the setup you've done in the first, this in isolation, feels like a more satisfying episode of the two.
Mm-hmm.
There are that you know you've got resolutions,
yeah.
Set up, are being dealt with and paid off, which is very nice. Initially, I think the first again, it's interesting. Like sometimes when I'm rewatching the episodes with you, I feel a little bit more warmer about them than the first time I watched them.
Okay.
And on the first viewing of this, I felt that there were moments in this episode which were a bit flat.
Really?
Yeah.
Gracious.
But the second time round, especially watching the two inside baseball talking here, because we've recorded both in the same evening, watching the two side
I can't believe you gave that away. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Oh gosh. It blended together a lot better.
Yes,
I think when I had initially watched them and done my notes and everything, they were not in the same sitting. Whereas obviously this time, it was, and it just felt a little bit better.
Yeah.
For me. But I think what this episode does really well is it takes all of that stuff that's set up and does really satisfying payoffs with all of them. So the stuff with the watch, the stuff with the wallet, very nicely done, kind of sort of linked together with Uncle Leo picking it out of the trash, which was a nice little extra touch. George manages to rescue the pilot deal. He really did throw everything at that.
He's a stand-up guy, I think, in this.
Jerry's the stand-up guy.
Oh, I've totally misunderstood the whole premise of this show. Let's go back and start from the pilot again.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1.
Do you think that the waitress in this scene is going to appear in any other episodes? But she knows which one's decaf and which one's regular.
That's right. We got some fun with I'd say menage a quatre, wouldn't you? With Elaine and the shrink and Kramer and Crazy Joe.
Everyone in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was interesting. It feels like that is a thing that isn't done.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see if that carries on.
Also, her and Kramer have sex up to 5 times a week.
Yeah, that was...
Do you think they take weekends off, or do you think that's weeknights?
That was
a couple of weeknights.
A heck of a detail. It depends what nights there's the good TV on, right?
Yeah, that's
so,
true. Yeah.
So those are the those are probably the nights they take off.
Friday, Saturday nights then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need a fallow day or two in a week, though, I think.
Yeah, well, that's true. Otherwise, your field becomes infertile.
Yeah. Can't overplow.
You cannot overplow your field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, your seed will be dashed.
I think this was a better episode for Kramer as well.
Yeah.
I was a bit not uncomfortable, but I didn't take so warmly to the overtly physical performance of the last episode. Whereas this, you know, he's got some character work to do.
Yeah.
And that was thoroughly enjoyable watching him do that. Work the phone call and then kind of start getting converted by the shrink. So yeah, I enjoyed that.
And he got to see his apartment.
Yes, I didn't tweak that was his apartment until you mentioned it.
Or to carry through the French theme that we seem to have developed, appartement.
Oh, oui.
Mm. Mm.
But I think the two main things to note about the two episodes together is the continuing joy in the details.
Yeah.
Even if there's like something that might not be working for me in the story whatsoever, you get 30 seconds or 20 seconds or just like, you know, a couple of lines or just a little divulgence or something. And it's just like, a nice, pleasant moment. Seinfeld's great at those.
For me, it's every time Leo's on screen, I cannot take my eyes off him in this episode. I just love the character so much. Mm. He's so funny. His mannerisms and his... Just the whole performance, it's a very well-realised character. I like it a lot.
Yeah, as a performer, he's always working. As does Michael Richards. Is another one. I think to a point, actually, in this one, Morty is... He's always doing something.
Yes.
You know, in that second episode, if it wasn't delivering dialogue, most of the time it's stewing over the deal with the watch and the...
Yeah.
And Jimmy Sherman.
The casting of veteran actors, though, in Seinfeld is brilliant.
Mm.
And they get brilliant performances out of them. I think what you notice is the quality of reacting, isn't it? It's the silences where they but absolutely Morty too is the insistence on paying for everything even when he doesn't have a dime on him is beautiful.
The other thing to mention is not just applicable, I would say, to these two episodes, but the whole season so far is the sense that we are having a bigger cast now.
Mm.
There are more regular recurring characters than we've had before. Mm-hmm. A lot of Seinfeld so far has been our four main players, a couple of extra people who you see every now and then, and then just one and done. You know, where we've had things bleed in through these four or five stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the feeling that, you know, some of this will not go away.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's certainly a precedent that's being set at this point.
Mm.
You're quite right.
But I'm still waiting for the gears to shift. I think that's probably coming. It feels like after these two episodes, we've taken care of the business we've needed to take care of, right?
Yeah.
We've dealt with Kramer in California. Elaine is now fully back into the fold. The pilot is very much on. That's not going to get disrupted, I don't think, from this point now, you know.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
No, of course not. And so we've got our starting block now.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny to say that, you know, these many episodes into a season, okay, we're getting started now. But it kind of feels like that a little bit.
Well, I think we move in now to the Bubble Boy and the Cheever letters, I think, are the next two.
Okay.
And I'm terrified because they are two of my favourite episodes of Seinfeld. So, of many favourites. But yeah, it's funny, before we recorded today, I started looking through the upcoming episodes and I'm giggling just looking at the titles of the... So I'm quite excited to see what you make of that.
Yeah, I'm hoping for good things to come. So far, the episodes have all been at least okay, but none of them have been like super exceptional yet. And I've let you
led you to believe that in this season it takes off like a rocket ship, haven't I? So you're probably thinking, when's it going to take off like a rocket ship? It's possible, Steve, it never will for you. You know, it's all about...
There is always that possibility.
It is, and I have to say it's a nagging fear and doubt, but that's part of the joy of the overall story arc of this podcast.
Mm.
Steve, do you have any further thoughts to add?
I'm all done.
Good. I like it when I work out that you're all done and I ask you that question. It's crushing when I fail to read you correctly because I feel we have such a connection. Thank you for that, Steve. That was succinct and insightful. And I for one, appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Good. Thank you to listener for listening. I hope you listen to the next episode, The Bubble Boy.
Mm-hmm.
The Bubble Boy, one of my favourites. We'll see you then. Until that moment in time, goodbye.
See you later.